Jamie Locker with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Double Take with Double D, Daryl Davis here on the Green Zone just past 5 o'clock as he will weigh in on the kicking news in Saskatchewan. Rough Riders will have a new kicker this Friday as no Brett Lawther. Back injury has prevented him from practicing. He has struggled this year. So the youngster, Campbell Fair, will get his kicks in back in Ottawa where he played university football and has the longest kick in GG's history. 55-yard game winner a few years back. So Campbell Fair looks like he will be the guy to get his kicks in for the Riders on Friday night. And, of course, our Green Zone pregame show will begin at 3:30.
So you threw it at Britt, and I'll throw it at you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the beginning of the end for Brett?
I'll tell you Friday night after Campbell Fair kicks before I make any declarations on that. Meanwhile, it's just the beginning for Kirill Kaprizov now with the Minnesota Wild signing an 8-year extension, $17 million per season. Intrepid reporter Jessie Pierce doing her best. Just a simple question about being excited with the contract.
A big chair. F***ing better be.
Yeah, Billy Guerin. He bleeping better be. Jessie Pierce joining us from NHL.com covering the Wild. Is that just Bill Guerin being Bill Guerin, Jesse?
It is. It's funny. Like, I think both of us didn't realize that live stream had started. So even my question, it was just more of a lighthearted, hey, how are you? Are we excited to be here? So I'm glad the viral moment pretty much encapsulated what Bill Guerin is like. And I'm sure what everybody has known him to be like from when he was a player up until now.
Jesse, do you have any other, like, funny Bill Guerin stories in dealing with him over the last little while?
You know, ironically, he gave me a hard time when I had brought up the contracts of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl once upon a time. I said, you know, Edmonton's got a lot of money locked up in two guys. And Billy said, yeah, Jesse, I'm sure they're really disappointed in that decision, and kind of keeps me a little rousing. He doesn't let me forget it. He brings it up every time he sees me. So there's that. And then he brought his Stanley Cup trophy to a dive bar in Massachusetts, one that didn't really follow hockey. And the bartender looked at him and said, what, did you guys win a softball tournament? And he said, yep, that's exactly what we did. And so they continued to celebrate in incognito, if you will, at this little dive bar in Massachusetts.
That sounds like a perfect spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Oh, my goodness, Jesse.
We found our spot. Everybody get in here.
They don't know who we are.
Exactly.
They're not going to go on Reddit and tell us all our bad stories.
Drinks on the house.
Jesse Pierce, Minnesota Wild reporter at NHL.com, as Kirill Kaprizov signs a monster deal. So with this contract, what does this actually now tell you about the Wild organization? Because it's like, oh, does he want to play there? Well, big players want to play in for the Wild, similar with McDavid and Edmonton as you brought him up. But what does this say about Kirill and his commitment after there was some speculation and he was embarrassed by the whole declining offer from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it's a stamp of approval. It's a stamp of approval that Bill Guerin needed for the organization. I think it's what the fans needed to see. I mean, he signed for 8 years, which I think took, at least for sure, me by surprise. I thought he was definitely looking at a shorter-term deal. I thought 8 was maybe what caused him to turn down the initial offer that they had about a week ago. But to say, yes, I want to spend my entire career here with this Minnesota Wild, I do believe that a Stanley Cup is in the future. It says a lot. You know, it's, the hope is then that players are going to want to play with a guy like Kirill Kaprizov and some of the young guns that the Minnesota Wild have coming up. But, you know, now it's on Bill Guerin to do his part and go to work and continue to build around Kirill, give him the supporting cast that he's kind of been missing for his tenure here in Minnesota.
Jesse, the interesting thing about this deal is that as soon as Kirill turned down the $16 million, the narrative, the conversation was, oh, he doesn't want to stay there. But there has been a sort of undercurrent of conversation revolving around this Minnesota Wild team as of late that, no, that's not the case. Players are starting to feel at home there. They're liking what the organization is doing, that there is a shift in the culture. Which side of the fence do you sort of fall on there?
Yeah, I mean, I've been covering this team now for 10 years, so I've certainly seen a seismic shift in the culture in that locker room. I mean, guys are having fun. They all get along. I mean, they truly are a family, and I know that was something that was so important to Bill Guerin. That was something that he experienced in his winning days as a player and as a member of management in Pittsburgh as well. He knows how important that culture is. He wants to bring in guys that are going to fit in there. Kirill Kaprizov said it himself that this is a second home to me. My family feels like this is a home to me. And that's kind of been the conversation for every new guy that has come through there, where they just absolutely adhere to the Minnesota way. You've got a great fan base. You've got a city that loves its hockey, as a state that loves its hockey, in fact. So it is. It's definitely changed since Bill Guerin. And as we mentioned with those joking and how Bill Guerin can be, who doesn't want to play for a guy like that? Not only does he have the pedigree, but he's a guy that can just, he just seems to get it. He's definitely a player's GM. So it's been incredible to watch that change.
What are we about to see in Minnesota? Now that Kirill signed, Boldy, who's 24, just getting into his prime, signed for 2030. Brock Faber is now signed through 2033 as a great young defenseman. What do they have as a core to really start building something in Minnesota?
I mean, you named it right there. I think Matt Boldy is going to have an absolute monster of a season this year. He's already had a great preseason, which, yes, comes with its asterisk. And Matt Boldy has notoriously started off pretty well, but he ends up dipping. And, you know, there might be a month or two where there's a little bit of lack of production. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think he's finally matured enough. He's finally found this comfort and confidence where you're going to see that continue. Especially if he continues to play on a line with Kirill Kaprizov, the sky's the limit for him. I could see him potting 50 goals, so that's huge. And that 7x7 contract, it's going to be quite the steal when he continues to produce, so that's absolutely huge. Brock Faber, yep, another young defenseman that's going to take that step. And then there's some guys waiting in the wings. You've got Zeev Bouyam, who is going to play a big role in the top four pairing alongside Jared Spurgeon to start the year. You've got guys like Liam Ogren, who are going to be fighting for a spot with Matt Zuccarello out for the next about month or two with injury. There's a lot of good youth. I think the biggest thing, though, is Bill Guerin wanting to add to the team. He didn't get to do that during free agency once the salary cap handcuffs came off from the buyouts, but I can guarantee he will be busy come trade deadline if the pieces make sense.
Marc-Andre Fleury calling it a career, and one of the things that probably helped with the, you know, the culture is having a guy like that around the organization. And there have been rumors that there's, everyone's like, what's he going to do next? Is he going to, you know, get behind a mic? Or there have been rumors that he could end up in some capacity because he loved his time in Minnesota. Do you have any kind of inkling as to what you think he might do? Is there a possibility that he could end up working for this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I saw him in a Minnesota Wild polo not too long ago. I think it was just last week, in fact, and we kind of joked about, oh, what are you going to do now? How many pranks are you going to pull now that the players are on the ice and you can roam free? And he said, I can't do that. I wear a business suit now, Jesse. That's who I am now. And kind of laughed. I think similar to what Bill Guerin has done with players like Alex Goligoski, I think you'll just kind of figure out the right fit for Marc-Andre. I think for him, it's also going to help him acclimate to that retirement. As we all saw him in his Pittsburgh farewell tour during the preseason, he's a guy it's going to be hard for him to walk away from the game. It's what he's known, but he is such a family man too. So I know he's excited to have that chapter. His kids are going to school here in Minnesota, so he is naturally going to be around and staying here in that capacity. But it will be interesting to see how he turns down any playing offers that might come his way, because that's the hardest thing, I think, to walk away from the game, is to remove yourself in that large of a capacity. So I think Flower is going to navigate it, but we're certainly fortunate in Minnesota to see him up in the Eagles' perch there with Bill Guerin, at least for a little bit.
And what was the best prank Marc-Andre Fleury ever pulled in Minnesota?
Oh,
were you
question.
The victim of any Marc-Andre Fleury pranks yourself?
Oh, my goodness. I was not. He was always very kind to me. I am so honored. I wish he would have, actually. That would have been a heck of a story in the memory book. I know him and Brandon Duhame went back and forth, and it was great because Brandon Duhame also would chirp back at Marc-Andre. So he gave Marc-Andre Fleury a cane, I think, and Marc-Andre went out and used it as his stick. You know, a lot of it was always behind closed doors, right? So So I didn't get to see a whole bunch, but I heard even in Pittsburgh him hanging, you know, suits from the rafters and just going above and beyond. I think anything Marc-Andre pulls, it's an honor, right? You couldn't get mad at the guy. It's just too fun.
Well, yeah, I laughed at the Penguins one. Of course, he deckled like Letang and Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby's car, and the videographer for their social media was videotaping. So Sidney knew it was coming. He's going to leave the building, and they have the camera on him, and he's like, "What did he do?" And he walks out. Yeah. I loved it. He goes, "Oh, that's not too bad."
No, I mean, again, I'd love for my car to have a flower and some racing stripes and the number 29 on it. Like, absolutely. Why not?
He probably thought he was going to walk into his truck full of popcorn or something like that. He's like, oh.
He did put a couple of cars up on blocks, too, from what I've heard.
Yeah. Oh, that was when the Wild visited Pittsburgh, I think, last season or the season before, too. Yeah, nobody's safe. I remember asking Dan Blysma when they visited, when Dan was with Seattle. I said, what happened? He goes, actually, nothing, but we all cautiously walked into our room to check if there was water cups, and now I'm kind of sad that he didn't prank us, because I feel like he forgot about us, and, you know, I think that's the Marc-Andre Fleury lure, and it's certainly special.
Jesse, what's your Taco Bell order?
You're not supposed to ask. It says, don't ask.
I couldn't help it.
You can't ask. It's so private. It's only private because it's embarrassing. I eat like a 5-year-old, and I will leave it at that. So you can take what you will, look at the menu, and figure out the blandest, plainest Taco Bell order. That's probably what I'm going with.
It's probably the same as our producer,
Scott. Yeah, you're getting applause from our producer. He has baby mouth.
Yeah, he's got the same appetite, I think.
It's just an easy thing that, yes, as my husband reminds me, I could make at home, but it doesn't taste the same. I need Taco Bell to make it for me. It needs to be post-game, and that's the life I live.
The life as a sports journalist. Late nights, coming home, need a bite. Jesse, thanks so much for your time. Have a good afternoon.
Nope. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Jesse Pierce from NHL.com covering the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Wild. As Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov signs 8 years, $17 million
a year
per.
Just hope his family can make that work. They'll have to budget, right? You know?
Only the Porsche this year.
Meal planning on the weekends. I mean, it's going to be hard, but I think they'll make it.
That kicks in next year, $17 million with Matt Boldy, Brock Faber. Something's rolling in Minnesota.
He's got to stay healthy.
More coming up on the Green Zone, including we'll keep you up to date on the Yankees and the Red Sox. And next, what did the general manager of the Oilers say about Connor McDavid's contract? Are they close? Are they not? Mr. Bowman spoke today. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Will he sign? Won't he sign? What's going on with Connor McDavid? Stan Bowman was talking to reporters today in Edmonton about the ongoing contract negotiation.
No, I don't have expectations either way on that. I think we're continuing to talk to Judd regularly. I talk to him almost every day. And had good chats with Connor all along the way, too. So I guess I don't like to make predictions. We'll see where it goes.
How would you sort of characterize the way things are going? Are you surprised that nothing has gotten done yet?
Very positive conversations. All of them have been. So, you know, I don't really have, I can't add perspective from like what's in on their side. I can just say, you know, we're ready and excited to have Connor here, and he looks excellent. I think he looked in rare form the other night, which is good to see him and Leon. Finding some chemistry with Freddie, like that was nice to see. So nothing's changed from that perspective.
It's all good, man. It's all good. We're great. Love it. Positive. It's awesome. What do you think he's really thinking?
He's terrified.
Yeah.
He looks terrified.
That video, he's like, yeah, it's positive. We're good. We're good. I just hear this. See the
Kate calls going. Him every 14 minutes and goes, where are we at?
Why haven't you signed him yet? Working. It's positive. Really good. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll keep you up to date on the Yankees and the Red Sox. Of course, The winner of that game will take on the Toronto Blue Jays, or this series, sorry, will take on the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALDS starting on Saturday. The Yankees are leading 2-0 against Boston. But the Jays, meanwhile, today, they were playing a inter-squad game.
Yeah, they're just having the
Brewers,
some fun.
Yeah, the Brewers were doing the same thing.
Rust versus rest conversation happens all the time. So this is
apparently Jeff Hoffman pitched himself out of a jam today at the inter-squad game.
Stop it.
No, I'm serious. I'm not lying.
Why? What did he do to you? Show us on the doll.
I'm not making this up. I saw the report. Jeff Hoffman pitched himself out of a jam with a couple of strikeouts. Like, could he? In an intra-squad game,
Bo Bichette
is not playing.
Not playing.
He's not going to play.
Yes, he could. He's making progress in his injury. So we'll keep an eye on that.
So we'll see how this shuffles out with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
I still want the Yankees.
Well, they're up 2-0, but it was a comeback last night. If you know Justin Blackwell, ask him about Aaron Boone's management style today.
Don't do it in public, though.
Yeah, that is a private conversation. He wasn't too impressed with the manager.
But one of the things that JB had a problem with was Chisholm.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm.
Not being in the lineup, but apparently that's been rectified. So that was one of his issues.
Well, I have the same issue Justin had, and we talked about this on Saskatchewan Afternoon.
Managers do this all the time.
Is the manager who goes, third time through the lineup, better take that starter out and put... I know the analytics people, the numbers tell you that on the third time through, the average goes way up. But if your pitcher is spinning it, and he's owning it, and he's on a rhythm, and he's cooking, let him cook. Don't take him out of the kitchen. Let him go. If what he's serving up is garbage, get him out of there.
Guys panic now. The managers panic. And I think there is something to that. I think the guys upstairs are...
Yeah, they're all analytics nerds now.
They're controlling things. John Schneider doesn't have a say a lot of times. He's not getting what he wants.
Well, there are managers, especially, and John Schneider's a younger guy, right? That here's the book, and here's the plan. They lay it out. There's a plan. This is what we do. These are the analytics. This is what the plan is for this game and this strategy and this scenario. It's talked about by the analytics people and the manager and the president and Shapiro and Atkins and all the other geeks and nerds they have in that organization all get together and work the numbers, and they lay out the plan. And then John Schneider has to execute the plan. It's not old baseball anymore where Cito Gaston's going, you know what? We usually take him out about now after 80 pitches, but I'm going to leave him in there because he is feeling it right now. That's gone. There's no feel anymore.
Red Sox
for a lot of
left their guy in.
Yeah, Crochet's pretty darn good pitcher. Scooble as well was left in.
Scooble was left in. I think he was over 100 pitches, wasn't he?
We'll see. We'll see how long the pitchers go tonight with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Did you get the email today? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders saying, here we go. Open season. Get your playoff tickets now for the Rough Riders.
What do you think about that? Is that a good move?
Sending out before they've clinched a home playoff game?
Yeah.
The Blue Jays did. I gave them a little heat for it last week when they announced ticket sales for the American League Divisional Series before they'd actually clinched the American League Divisional Series.
It bothers me.
Do you believe that's a curse or something? But you want to get ahead of it.
No.
You want these tickets sold and moved and all that stuff
get the job done. Get it done.
So we're asking you here on the Green Zone. We're asking you on the Green Zone with the playoffs, the tickets being sold. We're asking you, who do you think is going to be in the Grey Cup? Who are the two teams that will be in the Grey Cup? We did it at the start of the season, mid-season. How are you feeling? Riders are going to be there. Riders are going to be there. Are you still feeling that? Because Keith from Saskatoon, Keith Willoughby, ran the numbers, and his computer spit out the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the BC Lions of having a better chance of winning the Grey Cup than the Rough Riders. The Rough Riders were third. It looks like the computer has zero faith that an Eastern team is going to win the Grey Cup this year with the Tiger Cats and the Montreal Alouettes. But we're asking you, who do you think it's going to be? David in Melfort, Grey Cup, Sunday in Winnipeg. Who's playing in the game?
Well, my heart says the Rough Riders, but my head is starting to see that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are coming on and getting better, and that scares me.
David.
So the Bombers again, David.
Well, yeah, I think it might be. You know, I'm not for the Riders. They definitely got to get first place. If they can get first place, then I think they got a good shot. But I don't think even if they do, the Bombers aren't scared to come into Mosaic. They've beaten the Riders there more times than the Riders have beaten them. So I don't know how much of a home field that'll even be, but it'll be a lot better for the Riders than going to Winnipeg, let's put it that way.
So that's out of the West. Who do you got out of the East?
I've got the Alouettes. I think if Alexander stays healthy, I don't think, you know, some people are saying Hamilton, but I don't see it. They're looking pretty ordinary the last little while. So I got the Alouettes, and my heart's got the Riders, but my brain's saying the Bombers. So.
And drinking the same Kool-Aid as that computer program Keith uses.
Maybe so, but that's my prediction. So, and just on the kicker, I'm excited to see him because I don't know how he can do any worse than Lauter's been doing. So, I mean, if he does worse, then we got to wonder. That's put a little something on our general manager and player personnel because why isn't there a guy here that can actually make 3 out of 4 or even 4 out of 4 some games. Like we can't, if we don't have a guy that can do that, and Loftus consistently been 2 out of 4 basically, or 2 out of 3 or 1 out of 3, or so to me, if Fair isn't the guy, then O'Day should be doing a better job of bringing somebody in that is the guy, because it's been clear for a while that Lauter has not been the guy. So we'll see how it goes. I'm pulling for Fair.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, David, thanks for the call. If you hadn't heard, you're just jumping in the car. You go, kicker, what are you talking about, kicker? There is a kicking change this week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Brett Lauter ruled out because of a back injury that he did not participate in practice the last 2 days. So Brett Lauter, back injury out. Campbell Fair
I like this.
The kicker.
This is good. Again, I'm not saying it's good timing for Brett to get injured. I'm not suggesting that. I feel bad for him, back injury. This is perfect timing, in my very humble opinion, to be trying something new with respect to the kicking game. Give the kid a chance. At least you see what your options are leading into the playoffs, right?
So Campbell Fair handles the kicking duties. 1-877-332-8255. Jim in Saskatoon is going with the same one as David. Montreal, Winnipeg in the Grey Cup. Jerry says Calgary, Hamilton.
That's not the first time we had Calgary, Hamilton come in, too.
Stamps will get strong again before the end of the season. Riders, no. Campbell isn't, or Harris isn't completing passes over 10 to 15 yards. That's from Jerry. 1-877-332-8255. People are saying, watch out for Ottawa. They beat Calgary twice. They can beat Saskatchewan in Ottawa this Friday. 1-877-332-8255. Jace says, if the Riders get first, it'll be the Stamps and the Alouettes. If they're second, it'll be the Riders and the Alouettes. The Riders have shown this year they cannot have a bye week.
You know what might be interesting? I'm worried about BC.
Nathan Rourke is playing very well. Now, that BC defense still does give up points, but that defensive line over the last, I want to say, 4 to 5 weeks, that defensive line has become one of the best defensive lines in the Canadian Football League. And when they own the line of scrimmage and Nate on the defensive side, and Nathan Rourke is playing the way he is on the offensive side, yeah. I'm with you, Locker. If there's a team that I'm most worried about in the West, it's the Lions over the Bombers and the Stamps for me.
Well, and depending on how it all flushes out too, right? The team that gets the crossover could have a pretty easy route through the East.
No.
You think Montreal is a...
Montreal will beat whoever's coming into Montreal. I'm convinced the Alouettes... If Davis Alexander is healthy, I'm convinced the Alouettes might dominate the last couple of weeks here. And I think they're going to leapfrog the Hamilton Tiger Cats for first place.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they will be hosting the East Final.
I sort of had Hamilton finishing first in the East and Saskatchewan finishing first in the West, which makes the, you know, that crossover interesting. But then if Montreal is rolling, you're right, then they could just stomp on that crossover team.
1-877-332-8255. Who do you see playing in the Grey Cup as we turn the calendar into October with 4 weeks left? Jonathan, can I say the Red Blacks and the Esks? Nope.
No, I guess you can.
But it's not going to happen because if that all happened, the Esks would be the crossover team to the East, and it actually mathematically cannot happen for the Red Blacks and the Elks to be in the Grey Cup. Jim is going with the BC Lions and the Montreal Alouettes in the Grey Cup. A lot of popular picks going with the Montreal Alouettes. If the Riders lose Friday, Jim's worried they might not win another game the entire season with Toronto coming in and then, of course, on the road in Winnipeg before wrapping up the season against the BC Lions. What's your Grey Cup pick? 1-877-332-8255. Who's going to be playing in Winnipeg in November? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Double Take with Daryl Davis coming up. Change for the Rough Riders kicking situation. Brett Lawther is ruled out with a back injury. Looks like Campbell Fair will handle the kicks in Ottawa. But we go to Darren in Saskatoon with your Grey Cup pick right now, October 1st. Who do you think's playing for it all in Winnipeg in November?
Montreal Alouettes versus the British Columbia Lions.
Okay. A lot of people on the Owls. I believe you're the first one to call on the Lions. What do you like about BC?
I think that Rourke is really coming into his own now. I think the receiving core, secondary, they're doing well for a deep threat. And I think Rourke's, I'd love to see Rourke versus Alexander in the final. Two premier quarterbacks up and coming in the league, one that is yet to lose a starting game. I just think that's where it's going to end up. I think Winnipeg is going to go into BC in the semifinal. They're going to lose, and we're going to lose to BC in Regina in the Western Final. And I don't think anybody's going to stop Montreal now that Alexander's back in behind center.
Yeah, that Alouettes team, they are strong.
A lot of people are saying Montreal coming out of the East.
I
thought more people would go with Hamilton, but Montreal seems to be a popular pick.
They're the hot team in the East. They are. I think Hamilton's on a 2 or 3 game losing streak right now. A little bit of a stumble down the stretch run.
Couple of texts.
I'm excited to see how many wins Alexander can string in a row here. He's at 9. Hasn't lost in 9 starts in his CFL career, breaking the CFL record at 8. Will he hit double digits coming up with the Owls?
Well, and he's got a break this week too, right?
We'll see.
For week 19,
little bit
taking on the Red Blacks. That's almost a guaranteed win.
There's only 3 games in the CFL this week.